Well, we're so blessed to invite John Hafley forward now and to share with us. So let's show him some love as he comes up and gives his testimony and message with us today.
Good morning. God is good.
All the time.
Boy, he sure is. I've prayed for this moment for about 28 months, and I am so grateful to all of you to let me speak today. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray we live this day in your presence and please you more each day. Lord Jesus, I pray we take up our cross and follow you. Holy Spirit, I pray you fill us with yourself and your fruit ripens in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Holy Blessed Trinity, three persons and one God, please lead us and guide us in all that we do, and let thy will be our will, and let us walk forward confidently sure what thou hast planned for us is better than anything we could plan for ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, good morning. It is just so wonderful to be back. About 15 years ago, I told my wife, Julie, I thought it was time for us to look for a church to attend. She had mentioned a Methodist church that was across from the library, and being raised a Methodist, I thought this would be a great place to start. I came here for a visit one Sunday and never looked any further. It was love at first sight. I often wondered why God sent me here. I tried to do my part. I would join committees when asked, was liturgist on several occasions, and even had the opportunity to give a sermon one Sunday. But I just felt there had to be more. There had to be a reason that God brought me here. A little over 2 years ago, I found out why. It wasn't what I could do for my church, but what my church family could do for my family and I. For when I had fallen and was sent to prison, you were there for us. Julie said it best when she described this congregation as what people of God should be. When we were down, you lifted us up and rescued us, and for that we are grateful. As I mentioned, I was given the opportunity to give a sermon one Sunday. And after giving that sermon, it seemed God was opening doors for me to share the gospel with others. I was even asked by a friend to officiate her mother's funeral. You see, I'd always had a void in my life. And when reading the Bible, I would learn from King Solomon that the void was because God had set an eternity in the hearts of man. And the only way of filling that void is a relationship with God. The problem was, I was living with an unconfessed sin. I'd taken something that didn't belong to me. And in the words of the prodigal son, I had sinned against heaven and I had sinned against man. The problem with sin is if you swim in it long enough, you eventually drown. Sin has its consequences. I tried to make amends but ran out of time. At my sentencing, I was portrayed as one who loved to work the church crowd, and was immediately incarcerated at the county jail, where I'd wait to be transferred to a federal prison camp. What was expected to be probation turned into a prison sentence. After King David committed adultery, he wrote, "The sacrifices of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart." Could not have been more broken. I had hurt the people that meant the most to me, and we were going to be separated for a long, long time. In the book of 1 Kings, we read the story of the prophet Elijah. God had worked an overwhelming miracle through Elijah in destroying the prophets of Baal. Elijah must have thought, with God on my side, what could go wrong? But you see, these were Queen Jezebel's prophets that he had killed, and now she wanted Elijah to join them. Where was God? Elijah may have wondered. Elijah ran for his life. He felt afraid, depressed, and abandoned. You know, somehow I thought God would perform a miracle and save my family and I from my actions. But our God is holy and just and doesn't cover up sin. In fact, the Bible warns us that when we sin against the Lord, we may be sure our sin will find us out. As I sat in the county jail, just like Elijah, I felt afraid, depressed, and abandoned. Elijah cried out, "I've had enough, Lord." I felt the same way. "Lord, I've had enough." But finding the strength from an angel, Elijah traveled to the mountain of God. You see, God was going to reveal himself to the prophet. The Lord told Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah needed to see God the most, he was found in a whisper. On the night of my incarceration, God came to me in a song. Frantic with worry for my family, I lay down to pray and try to gain some composure. As I began to pray, the hymn, "This is the Day," began to play in my head. You all know the words, we just sung it, but it's, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I thought, "God, you have got to be kidding me. Look at where I'm at and what I've done, and you expect me to rejoice." But the hymn continued to play, and as it did, gradually, my fears would subside, as the Lord assured me he would be with my family. He would never leave us nor forsake us. That night, God rescued me with a song. Well, it wasn't long before I realized the grace of God was the only way my family and I were going to get through this season in our lives. I decided to dedicate my time in prison to doing God's work. I made a commitment to share the gospel that anyone God sent my way. But in order to share God's word, I felt I needed to know God's word. I immersed myself in study. I also helped lead a morning devotional. I tried to make an impact for God as I waited to be transferred to a federal camp. I dreaded not knowing where I was going, but took some consolation knowing the judge had ordered my incarceration close to home. I prayed I would not be transferred till after Father's Day. The Wednesday before, I was notified I was leaving. While waiting in a holding cell, I found out I was designated 750 miles away from home. Panic set in. I tried to recite scripture I had memorized to calm myself. Could not recall a single verse. So I prayed. Simple prayer, I prayed for more time. Time for my family and I to prepare. Over and over and over, I prayed for more time. A couple hours later, a guard told me the plane had canceled due to inclement weather. The next morning, as we gathered for our daily devotional, the theme for the day was rescued. And the devotional closed with the following. It's worth pondering all that being rescued means to us as we thank God for his amazing power and grace. Besides rescuing us from our sins, we each decided to tell about a time when God came to our rescue. I immediately responded, "I was rescued yesterday when my transfer was canceled. We were not prepared for what lay ahead, but God was gracious enough to give us a glimpse into the future. I prayed for more time, and God gave it to us. Time for us to prepare to be separated for a long time. God rescued us that day." Well, Father's Day came, and I was able to see my family, and I was transferred the next day. Transferred to a place where most would spend a few days, I was spending at least a year. Upon arrival, I discovered I was not designated to a camp, but a federal prison. Immediately, I sought counsel from the prison chaplain. He encouraged to further my spiritual study through biblical correspondence courses. I spent most of my time in Bible study. I took my Bible everywhere. In the movie Field of Dreams, a voice tells Kevin Costner, "If you build it, they will come." I discovered the Bible worked in a similar manner. If I opened it, they would come. Inmates would stop by looking for hope, and I'd give them that hope in God's word. The Apostle Paul referred to God as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. I would like to take Paul's words one step further. You see, I seem to receive the most traffic at the times when I miss my family the most. By comforting others with the same comfort God had given me, I received an additional portion of comfort in return. At the time I was homesick the most, I was rescued by the God of all comfort. Towards the end of the first year of my sentence, I was asked by the prison chaplain to give a thank you speech at the annual volunteer appreciation dinner. The night of the dinner, I told the guests that how when I was designated, hundreds of miles from my home, I needed to see the face of Jesus more than any time in my life. And as I looked out in the audience, I saw Pastor Wiggins and Pastor Parker, who would come into the prison on Thursday night to share the word. Across from them was a prison chaplain that encouraged me to further my biblical studies. I saw the face of Jesus in those men. And then I shared with the crowd that over the past year, how much we had all seen the face in Jesus in every one of them. After the dinner, I began to think about how much my family and I had seen the face of Jesus over the past year. The Bible tells us, seek his face always. Seek and you will find. And the Lord promises, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. These verses were starting to become clear to me. We are not only to seek the Lord's face in the literal sense, but also to seek his face in those he created. I recall spending my 51st birthday in prison. I could not believe how far I had fallen. I prayed to the God of all comfort. He sent me comfort in a letter from a second grade Sunday school student that was included with one of my Bible studies. The letter said, I hope you know Jesus loves you, and I know you are sorry for your sin. You are loved by your family, and you are amazing. And I hope you know you're loved very much by God and your family. To top it off, the letter was written in red ink, reminding us Jesus' blood had covered my sins. Is it any wonder Jesus said, let the little children come to me? I saw the face of Jesus in that second grader. I saw the face of Jesus in many I shared my time in prison with. I saw his face in many in this congregation who sent my family and I inspirational cards, and Pastor Mary who lifted me up with emails and a study Bible. I saw the face of Jesus in friends, teachers at the high school, and others in the community that stood by us. I saw his face in my brother, my nephew, and the football coaches at the high school who would become father figures to my sons, John and Nick, in my absence. I saw his face in my sister who drove my mother down here on the weekends so she could be with my family. And my aunt that sent me a card the first day of every month of my incarceration. I saw the face of Jesus in my mother whose faith would be tested, but when tested would come forth as gold. And I saw his face in Julie, John, and Nick who proved love is patient, love is kind, love always hopes, always perseveres, that love never fails. What pulled my family and I through was seeing the face of Jesus, the one who rescued us from our sins. I pray someone will see the face of Jesus in me. Friends, I've seen the God who loves us enough to send his son to die for us, loves us enough to even save a wretch like me. And the only thing God asks in return is that we love him. We love him because he loved us first. And when we return his love, here is what God promises. I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who know my name. When they call on me, I will answer them. I will be with them. I will rescue and honor them. I will satisfy them with a long life and show them my salvation. Let us pray. Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.